And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. I hope you're having a good Monday afternoon. All right, let's get into some furry cuteness this episode with the introduction of the newest Arnold family member, Buster, although in this episode, he has yet to be named. In Season 3, Episode 12, The Powers That Be, which aired on January 23rd, 1990. In this episode, Grandpa Arnold visits the family and gives Kevin a puppy as a gift, but both Kevin and the pup get caught up in the middle of tensions between Jack Arnold and his father. The episode opens up with the whole family standing on the porch, all lined up next to each other, watching this new visitor back his car into the driveway. And who is this new visitor, you may ask? Why, it's Grandpa Arnold, Jack's father. His first name is Albert, which you hear that mentioned a couple of times. The whole family just watches in trepidation and uneasiness as Grandpa Arnold ends up backing into the lamppost. Oh, shit. Jack does quick work of making himself scarce, claiming the gutters on the house need to be cleaned and that he just has to work on them right this minute, and then vanishes before Grandpa even exits his car. Here's my question. Who the fuck backs into a driveway? Normally, normal people pull into a driveway, unless he plans to make a quick getaway and peel out, but Grandpa looks like he's here to stay for the week. Alright. I want to play this clip of Grandpa Arnold, and Jack is just standing there on the porch with his family, trying to mentally guide his father to back up straight into the driveway. Alright, so that'll be right back.
In every American family, there exists a chain of command. From the pawn, through the established ranks, to the lord and master of all things, great and small. But one week out of the year, a force would blow into town that even my father could not control.
To the left. Left.
Grandpa Arnold.
Why don't you give him a hand, Jack?
He knows what he's doing.
My fault entirely! Sorry!
Within minutes of Grandpa's arrival, my father would find some household chore to keep him busy until Gramps pulled out again. Not that I understood exactly why.
Well, I better get started on the gutters.
I made it!
All the time, Grandpa, you can hear it so jolly as you hear him humming a tune like he doesn't have a care in the world. Kevin tells us for 1 week a year, his Grandpa would blow into town like a force of nature. When he first backs up, he almost hits the cylinder block divider separating Jack's driveway from his neighbor's, and then he pulls forward as a car comes down the road. Now, this is a big boat of a car, so when it pulls forward, it's gonna take up the space of the road. I'd say that near-miss accident is on the other driver who thought the road was clear when Grandpa Arnold's car was actually still out in the road, or at least the first half, the front half of his car was. Grandpa backs in his driver's side fender, hitting the lamppost and causing it to be uprooted. Then he parks the car and gets out. What the hell? He's not even fully in the driveway. The front half of his car is still in the street. But while Jack is off being out doing some outside work like the gutters and so forth, Norma and the kids are having a ball inside with Grandpa. They're all cracking up while he grips Kevin's hand and then cries out in mock pain, claiming Kevin's got a grip of steel. Then he, like the awesome grandpa he is, he bestows gifts on the kids. He gives Karen a scarf that belonged to her grandmother, which she then proceeds to wrap around her pant leg, Punky Brewster style, 15 years before its time. Norma asks him if he wants anything to drink with his lunch, but he tells her, no, nothing for me, but suggests a big glass of milk for Kevin to keep his bones nice and strong. Grandpa gives Wayne a whistle that Wayne had used to play with as a boy when he'd go visit his grandparents that he would use to scare the birds away. Like, oh, you don't remember this? We used to do this all the time. Wayne's whole expression says it all, like, oh, thanks, Grandpa. And he does thank him after Norma gets after him about it, like, Wayne, thank your grandfather for the gift. Yeah, that's like a grandparent giving their 16-year-old grandchild a bike when they've already mastered how to operate an automobile. Too little, too late. I mean, the sentiment is there, of course, but there's still one more grandchild to bestow a gift on, and it's the piece de resistance. He has Kevin drink his milk up first and tells him, I have a gift for you. I left it out in the car. So he hands Kevin the keys. If I were Kevin, my mind would be racing at the possibilities. In the next scene, we see the sleeping puppy in the back of Grandpa's car. Kevin's excitement radiates off him in waves. Here's my question. Grandpa's car's, how is his car not covered in piss and shit? There's nothing there. There's no blanket or a towel for the puppy to lay on. He's just lying on the cracked leather upholstery. Kevin opens the door and climbs in, holds the puppy in his arms while inhaling that puppy smell. He is too in love with this guy already. Love, love, love. But who should come along and crap in his cornflakes, ruining his good time? Jack, with the dreaded words, we're not keeping that dog. And then he starts in with how it's too much responsibility. Sure, I mean, a dog at any age could constitute a lot of responsibility. Hell, kids younger than Kevin have dogs, albeit the parents are the ones that take the brunt of the responsibility with the feeding and the walking and the vet visits. I feel that Kevin is the perfect age for raising a puppy. What about the other family members? Shouldn't they get a say also instead of Jack coming in and vetoing the idea? Jack flat out tells Kevin it's too much to handle, and Kevin begs his dad, saying excitedly, I can handle it! I know I can handle it! Grandpa reminds Jack that Kevin is 13 years old, and Jack cuts him off, saying, I know how old he is, and I know what having a dog in the house means. Dogs chew on things. Well, yeah, he's a puppy. They do that. I'm sure they had bones and chew toys in the late 60s, didn't they? I mean, I know nowhere near what there is for animals in 2017, but I read on a Facebook group that a frozen towel makes a good chew thing, or maybe like a frozen teething ring to help when puppies are teething and they like to chew on stuff. He then brings up that a dog needs to be walked, and how I'm not going to be the one walking him at 6 a.m. Kevin assures him, you won't have to. He won't have to do anything for the dog. Grandpa goes to bat for Kevin, telling Jack how every boy needs a dog. Even though getting his grandson a dog was a sweet gesture, it was. It's never good to gift a dog to a kid without the parent's permission or approval. You never know, the family might not be financially ready to bring a dog into their family. Jack's right that a dog needs to be walked a lot so it doesn't become destructive or pee and crap all over the house. Also, with that responsibility comes food. Dog food I've seen is a lot more expensive than cat food. And what if the dog is allergic to the grain in the food and needs a special type of dog food? Also, vet bills add up, too. Granted, I doubt back then people took their dogs to the vet as often as people today do for checkups and such. Growing up, my family only took our dogs to the vet when they had to go. We lived in the country, so they weren't exposed to a lot that would cause them possible ailments. And the two dogs we had lived to a good old age, you know, 12, and I think the other one was like 13. Grandpa then explains to Jack that he can't take him back for a week, which is the length of his stay, and then he winks at Kevin, adding how maybe the pup will grow on Jack in that time and he'll change his mind. Yeah, fat chance there of that happening. Kevin looks up at his dad, hopefully, but Jack just groans in annoyance walking away from them. While Kevin and Grandpa love on the puppy, delighting in the possibility of keeping him. Kevin's in, I'm guessing, science class as a teacher who bears a striking resemblance to Woody Allen talks about how potatoes and genetics are linked through the transfer of traits, passed down from generation to generation. Sure, if you say so, Teach. The kids all share a look of bewilderment, like, do you know what the fuck he's talking about? No, but let's just nod in unison like we do and maybe he won't call on us. Kevin's sitting there wishing he could be home playing with a puppy instead of being bored to death by potatoes and gene transfers. Which makes me wonder, is Norma keeping company with this puppy while Kevin's at school, taking him out every hour to pee and poo, walking it, etc.? No matter how excited this teacher is on the subject, these kids don't share his enthusiasm and look bored to tears. The teacher has the kids pass back potatoes from a burlap sack to take home and log the data of changes in the potato. Kevin tells us how he's getting a crash course in family traits from watching the growing hostility building in his father as he tries to keep from blowing up at his grandfather, or Jack's father, excuse me, while they're changing out the storm windows for the season. In the background, we see Kevin playing with a puppy near Norma's garden. Big mistake there. The puppy's gonna think it's his new potty area or a place to dig around and forage. In order to train the puppy, one must become and think like a puppy or maybe read a dog training manual. I'm not sure how many books there were back then on dog training, though. Jack's father, whose name we learn is Albert, is really getting in Jack's craw, helping him with the windows, telling him to be careful with the frames and not to push too hard and break them. Jack informs his dad he's been installing and uninstalling windows for those windows for over 20 years, and he knows what he's doing. I can understand Jack's frustration when your parents come to your place and start nitpicking how you do things, and you just want to tell them to leave and never come back. Kevin's busy... Kevin's busy trying to get the puppy, who's currently nameless at this point, to sit, and it seems like the puppy just wants to exit the scene because he is having none of it as he tries to scamper away, but is quickly dragged back by Kevin, forcing him into a sit position. Then, beaming, Kevin calls over to his dad, like, hey, look, how well he obeys me. Can we keep him now? But all it took was a second to look away, and Buster's gone into Norma's flower patch as Jack yells at Kevin to keep the damn dog on the leash. Whoops. Ah, puppies, can't take your eye off them for a minute, can you? All right, I'll play this clip.
Sit. Good boy. Hey, Dad. Dad, can you look?
What do you want?
Dad, look.
Kevin, will you put the damn dog back on the leash?
Okay.
Later that night, the family is in the living room watching an old TV show, and Grandpa remarks on what is considered funny on television when somebody on a Comedy Hour show says, Bippy. Grandpa, confused, asks, what the hell is that? That's what passes for funny on TV these days? I hear you, Grandpa. I'm sure you'd be appalled at the crap on television today. Kevin notes how whenever his grandpa opened his mouth, his dad sneered at the puppy. He does. He literally curls his lip in disgust. Karen explains to Grandpa, it's not funny, ha ha. It's more loose, wild funny. Sure, Karen. Sure it is. Grandpa mentions how you want to see funny, you should check out some old Honeymooners reruns. Now that's funny. They had reruns back then? Huh, interesting. This prompts the family to have Jack launch into his Ralph Cramden routine. I want to play this because Jack is funny here doing this impression. You don't really get to see Dan Lauria, who plays Jack, really do many, funny type comedic-ish impressions, so I'll play that.
Bippy?
Didn't I What is that? Bippy.
That night, I was noticing a connection. Every time Gramps opened his mouth, my father would glare a little harder at the puppy.
That's what people laugh at these days, Bippy.
Funny like, ha-ha funny. It's funny like, you know, loose, wild funny.
If you want to see funny, you ought to watch some Honeymooners reruns.
But wait a minute. What was this?
Oh, that's Jack's favorite show.
Hmm. Really?
One of the best.
Did you ever see the one where Norton and Ralph bought the hotel?
This was great. By some fantastic coincidence, Gramps had stumbled onto the one thing that made my father really come alive.
Or the one where Ralph forgets Alice's birthday?
I love that one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Little did Gramps know that Dad's Ralph Cramden impersonation was legendary. Around our house, anyway.
Jack.
Hmm?
Do your Ralph Cramden.
Yeah, come on, Dad.
I didn't know you did imitations, John.
Neither did I.
Oh, just once, please.
Come on, let's see it.
One of these days, Alice. One of these days, bang, zoom, to the moon.
Honey, you can do it a little better than that.
Well, to do it right, you need a little more elbow room.
Well?
Okay, so much for the warm-up. Time for Dad to let out all the stops. The patented Ed Norton double take.
Not! Were you already?
And just when it seemed like the sun was never going to shine again, the clouds began to break.
That's Gleason? That doesn't sound like Gleason.
And then the rains came.
Oh, I'll get some paper towels, honey.
Too bad Grandpa isn't impressed. He really puts a black cloud on this family during a moment of laughter, which we know Jack hardly brings out of them. I mean, Jack is, I think, hurt and a little embarrassed that his father called him out on that impression. Like, that's Gleason? That don't sound like Gleason. Oh, excuse my French, but fuck you, Grandpa. Don't rain on their parade. Jack's mood instantly turns sour and is made even worse when the puppy squats and takes a pee mere centimeters from his shoe. Norma, doing her best to rectify the situation, goes to get some paper towels. Norma, you better have some solvent ready to dissolve that urine that is now trapped in the fibers of your carpet. Because that's going to smell come summertime, and no amount of paper towel soaking it up is going to remove that smell or that chance that your puppy will use that spot again to relieve himself later. In the basement, Kevin's sitting on the couch holding the puppy as Jack paces back and forth in front of him, reciting a list of rules to Kevin that he requires him to meet regarding taking care of the puppy. He expects Kevin to have the pup walked and fed before Jack leaves for work at 7 a.m., and then walked again at night so when he's through with his homework. So what, he gets to be out twice a day? Does Jack even know how puppies operate? Certainly not on that kind of schedule. What I don't understand is why they ADR the puppy's barking as Kevin's stroking his back while holding him. It sounded so fake and really wasn't needed. He then tells Kevin how the dog has to stay downstairs at all times. What? Why? Norma's home all day. You're telling me you can't take a little time out to play and socialize that puppy? Excuse me, they don't even have a crate for it. So what? That basement is going to get ruined with stuff being chewed up. Especially that couch. There's going to be crap and pee all over that floor. Plus, that puppy will probably develop separation anxiety from being down there all day long. Jack looks at Kevin, giving him a hard look like, do we understand each other? Any questions? Kevin gives him a quiet no as Jack heads upstairs, but not before once again sneering at the puppy. I feel bad for Kevin because this strife between his dad and grandfather is continuing to widen and build. And honestly, it's not about the dog. It's about his grandfather overstepping his boundaries when it comes to his son and grandson. And by Kevin accepting the puppy, it almost feels like Kevin unwillingly takes his side against Jack without meaning to. Yeah, you don't want to turn away a gift, but at the expense of widening the already dividing rift between father and grandfather, you can't help but become a participant. The puppy makes matters worse for Kevin when he knocks over his potato in a mason jar held up with toothpicks project from science class, knocks it down on the floor, spilling water all over as the puppy climbs down and starts licking the potato. Yeah, Kev, you might want to grab that from him before he inhales those toothpicks, because I can't imagine they'd feel good going down for him. Then we see Paul in class coming to Kevin's aid when Kevin has to tell the teacher that the dog actually ate his homework. Paul tells the teacher that he's known him for 13 years and he wouldn't lie about something like this. Well, also he's never had a dog before, so really how could he? The alarm rings as we see Kevin in bed, then Wayne, ever the jerk, chucks a pillow at his head. Then Kevin, still half asleep, heads down the stairs to the basement, and we see the puppy poke his head over the little cardboard makeshift bed, with newspaper lining the floor in front of it. The song Walking the Dog plays overhead. Kevin's walking the puppy. I'm guessing this is in the evening because he's dressed up wearing jeans and a white dress shirt under his jet. Why the hell is it that I can't talk today? Under his Jets jacket, and it looks like late afternoon with the sun high in the sky, but then again, I can't. Maybe I'm wrong, it could be morning. Then he plops down to bed while Puppy makes his presence known from the basement below, while his dad yells at Kevin through the closed door. We see Kevin yawning as he comes into the kitchen wearing a robe over his sleepwear. His grandpa's there in the kitchen with a glass of milk or orange juice, I can't remember. Also wearing a robe, and he nods at Kevin reassuredly. Actually, he kind of gives him a questioning look, like, are you doing all right? Is this too much for you having the puppy? The next day, Kevin's traipsing up the driveway as his dad is raking the yard. He's actually really dragging his ass like he hasn't slept in a year. Grandpa asks how Kevin's doing and then tells him.
Working pretty hard, are you?
I guess so.
Not easy raising a puppy. Toughest job there is.
He's learning, though.
Tell you what. Nice, hard-working lad like you. What do you say I take you down for a nice big banana split to the ice cream store?
Where you going?
I'm gonna take the boy for some ice cream. Come along if you like.
Kevin, did you walk your dog?
I was gonna walk when we got back.
You're gonna walk him now.
But, Dad...
Cut the boy some slack, John. It can wait 20
minutes. No, Dad, it can't wait 20 minutes. If the dog's gotta go, he isn't gonna wait 20 minutes. You like to wait around 20 minutes?
Not for my ice cream.
I guess I better walk the dog, Gramps.
Hey, suit yourself. Seems a shame, though. Can't even take my grandson for a little treat.
Kev. Kev, wait up. Look, I know it seems I'm being a little tough on you.
Tough? Well, no more than, say, Genghis Khan.
But believe me, there's a reason.
Okay, I was willing to listen to reason.
It's just...
Put this thing so close to the driveway.
Why don't you stay on the damn driveway?
Dad?
What?
What were you gonna say?
Never mind, you wouldn't understand. It's about fathers and sons.
Before they can go anywhere, Jack comes up and asks Kevin if he walked the dog today, and Kevin says, well, I was gonna do it when I get back. Jack tells him, no, you're gonna walk him now. Grandpa butts in how he was going to take Kevin to get some ice cream, and so Kevin trudges reluctantly towards the house as Jack and his father get into a heated debate over responsibility and ice cream. I take it Karen and Wayne are still at school? Why didn't they want to come along? We definitely see favoritism towards Kevin from Grandpa, but who can blame him? Plus, I doubt Karen and Wayne would want to be seen in public with Grandpa. I mean, since they're angsty teenagers and all. Grandpa makes Jack feel guilty by saying how, "Can't even take my grandson for ice cream." Grandpa sure knows how to apply the screws, doesn't he? Because then Jack heads over to Kevin about to apologize for being hard on him. But then just as he's trying to get the words out, his dad once again backs into that fucking lamppost. Jack is pissed after having just put it back into the ground from the last time it was uprooted via car. His dad didn't even stay on the damn driveway. There's like 3 feet of driveway on his driver's side that he could be using. Not to mention, he didn't even look when he backed up. What if a kid had been walking past at that moment? That child would be dead. Learn the rules, Grandpa, or you're going to find yourself without a license. Jack turns back to Kevin, distractedly asking, "What?" And Kevin tells him, "You were saying something?" And Jack just waves him off like, "You wouldn't understand. It's between fathers and sons." "Oh, really? Then what is Kevin? Is he not your son?" "Oh, no, Dad, of course I couldn't possibly understand." This whole back and forth between Jack and his father comes to a head later that night during dinner. Grandpa takes a bite of his potatoes and grimaces uncomfortably. Jack's eyes laser in on this, asking, "What's wrong now? Like, I've dealt with you all day, and I'm done. I'm done now." Grandpa takes another albeit small bite, then turns to Norma and asks, "Did you put pepper in these spuds?" Hold on a second. Norma immediately realizes her mistake of not taking into account Grandpa's geriatric dietary needs. She tells him, "Oh no, I'm so sorry, I forgot." And Jack hones in on this, asking, "Forgot? Forgot what?" And Grandpa mentions gas. "Pepper gives me gas." Then Wayne chuckles at this, and Kevin elbows him, shutting him up. "So, gas, like what, farts or indigestion? Like, I need some Pepto-Bismol or Tums to put out the heartburn?" Norma suggests he try some corn on the cob. Then he complains how it gets stuck in his teeth. But that's a complaint that everybody has, so it really holds no weight. Just buy some damn toothpicks. I mean, that's what they're created for. My grandpa had no problem using toothpicks after eating corn on the cob. At hearing that, Jack tosses his fork down in frustration. Norma tells Grandpa that she's going shopping tomorrow and she'll just pick up some things for him, but he pats her hand, telling her just to shop like you always do. Jack just rolls his eyes, saying how then she'll be spending the day cooking another meal he won't eat. Karen holds up the biscuits in a peace offering to Grandpa, telling him they'll be easy to digest. Jack comments on how his dad can't eat biscuits due to the starch in them. Okay, he's really needling his dad. He can't help it if his body can't digest that stuff like it used to. Hell, Jack, you're not even going to live long enough to see his age and have to deal with that. Karen and Wayne both claim they have a date and vacate the dining room faster than you can say explosion. The fight escalates between father and son as Kevin tries to get a word in edgewise. Jack tells him to stay out of it, and Kevin, at a loss for words, leaves the table in a huff, throwing down his napkin. Jack angrily lists his dad's transgressions, naming the lamppost he drove into and on top of it bringing a dog into the house. Grandpa tells him the dog was a gift. That may be, but you don't gift a person with a living, breathing animal that has to be taken care of unless they're capable and financially comfortable enough to afford a dog. Kevin heads to the basement, and the puppy whimpers and jumps on his lap like the puppy can sense the tension and hostility coming from upstairs and wants Kevin to comfort him. Norma has now moved into the kitchen, probably happy to be out and away from the crosshairs of this argument going down. If anything makes me uncomfortable, it's people arguing. I grew up in a house where people yelled and argued all the time. That's why I'm always so tense now as an adult, and I'm always asking people if they're okay. When, you know, people argue and stuff that just, it stresses me out. Luckily, as an adult, I don't see a lot of that. I want to play this clip as Jack belittles his father almost like he's disciplining one of his kids. The way he talks down to him is so sad. Kevin comes into the dining room, puppy in hand, and places him in his grandfather's arms, telling him, you can take him. I don't want him. It's really sad.
He didn't even bother to ask my permission.
Oh, now I gotta ask your permission to give my grandson a dog?
Yeah, Dad. My permission. Is that too much to ask when you're in my house? I don't tell you when to come and go.
Oh. If you want me to go, I'll go.
That's up to you!
Dad?
I'd go tonight. Except I didn't bring my other glasses.
You're driving around without your driving glasses.
Grandpa?
How can you forget your damn driving glasses?
I forgot it! It's as simple as that!
Listen to me!
I wanted them to tell me why they were fighting, why they kept hurting each other like this, why the two men who meant the whole world to me had to act like children. But most of all, I just wanted them to stop.
Here. I don't want the dog.
That is so sad. Especially when Kevin wishes they would tell him why they're arguing. And I'm like, oh, Kevin, buddy, this is a battle of wills that has been going on for a long time. Probably even before you were born. When Kevin leaves, you get a shot of Jack's expression, and he can't even hold his head up to look at his dad in the, to look his dad in the eye. A look of regret passes over his face, if only for a moment. Later that night, Kevin's mind plays back a memory of a Christmas past when he was about 3 and sitting on Grandpa's lap. And the family is all happy, having a wonderful time. We even see Jack kiss his mother on the cheek. How long ago did she pass, I wonder? Maybe Grandpa Arnold had been slipping since his wife passed, regressing and becoming forgetful with a wife without a wife to lend a guiding hand. Grandpa opens the door to Kevin's bedroom, and as soon as the light from the hall hits Kevin's face, he shuts his eyes as his grandpa calls out to him, asking if he's awake. But as soon as Kevin's face is once again cast in shadow of his dark bedroom, his eyes open as he rubs a hand across to swipe away a tear. The next morning, Kevin wakes up and heads to the basement to find the puppy gone. But then he hears the puppy barking outside, and he heads to find his dad has the puppy on a leash. Jack's all dressed up for work. It's just cute seeing him all dressed in a suit holding this puppy on a leash. I love seeing him with the puppy. It's adorable. Jack tells Kevin the pup's not a bad little guy. He's got spirit. And the camera sits on a close-up shot of the puppy. You know, he's so cute! He looks like a little beagle. I want to play this clip of the exchange between Kevin and his dad. I'll be right back.
I guess I should have been happy. But I wasn't.
Not a bad little pup. He's got spirit.
Dad, why did Gramps leave? You didn't send him home, did you?
No one ever sent your grandfather home before he was ready.
Oh.
Gramps and I had a little talk this morning, Kev. Kind of agreed that you should keep the puppy.
You did?
We thought...
I don't want it.
And I didn't. I was sick of that puppy. I was tired of being a pawn.
Well, first you tell me I can't have a dog. And then you tell me I should keep... What about my decision? Doesn't that count?
Of course it counts.
Well, you sure don't act like it. What's so funny?
You remind me of someone I know. I don't know. Guess it runs in a family. I hope you decide to keep it, Kev. I think we need a dog. You, me, Gramps. I think we need to do this.
And for some reason, maybe the way he said it, I began to understand.
We need a dog, son.
He wasn't giving me an order. My dad was asking me for help.
He doesn't have a name.
Well, find him a name.
That morning, as I stood with the man who was my father, the son of my grandfather, who would one day be the grandfather of my sons, I realized something. That not all gifts are simple. That some battles are fought out of love.
Let's take them forward.
Kevin asks if his dad sent his grandfather away, and Jack tells him, "No one ever sent your grandfather away before it was time." Jack tells Kevin that he and Grandpa had a talk, and both decided Kevin should keep the puppy. At first, Kevin is surprised to hear this, but then cuts Jack off, saying, "I don't want it." Probably because whenever he looks at that puppy now, it'll remind him of the fight between his dad and grandfather. Jack tells Kevin they should keep the dog, and then Kevin goes on a rant about how at first his father said he didn't want him to have the dog, and now he does. And what about what he wants? Doesn't that matter? Jack just kind of chuckles at Kevin going off the handle. It seems like he does this whenever Kevin goes off the deep end, spouting a hysterical Jerry Seinfeld rant, telling him he reminds him of himself and says, "It must run in the family." He looks at Kevin more serious and tells him, "I think we need a dog, son." Kevin looks at his dad and shrugs sheepishly. "He doesn't even have a name." And Jack tells him lightly, smiling through a chuckle, "Well, we'll find him a name." Happy and relieved to have repaired the small rift between him and Kevin. I love this bonding moment between them as Jack hands Kevin the leash and they walk the dog together. That's the end of the episode. Time for my Flower Power episode rating. I am giving it 5 out of 5 Flower Power petals. 1 for the introduction of Buster, who's at the point he didn't have that name, but we'll learn it later on. 2. For the introduction of Holly Jolly Grandpa, even though he stepped on Jack's toes a lot, which ultimately led to an uncomfortable shouting match at the table, causing the rest of the family to vacate. 3. For Kevin learning how hard it is to raise a puppy. 4. For Kevin giving up the puppy in hopes of mending the rift between his father and grandfather. And 5. For Jack finally accepting the puppy and telling Kevin, "I think we need a dog." My quote of the episode actually came at the very end, which you heard in the clip, from the narrator. And for some reason, maybe the way he said it, I began to understand. He wasn't giving me an order. My dad was asking for help. That morning, as I stood with a man who was my father, the son of my grandfather, the man who would one day be the grandfather of my sons, I realized something. That not all gifts are simple, that some battles are fought out of love. Here are my wonderling words of wisdom. Sure, we all love puppies. The cuteness, the softness, the puppy breath. But we also know how much work it is to raise them financially, along with the mental and physical exhaustion of training them and housebreaking them. Now, I don't know this personally because as an adult, I've never raised a puppy before, but hope to one day. That all being said, please take this into consideration. Never gift a pet, especially a dog, unless you know the person in question you're giving it to is ready to financially accept the responsibility and are ready to have one in their life. Here's my story that kind of relates to this episode. When I was Kevin's age, 12, maybe going on 13, during the summer. Maybe it was spring break. One of them. Anyway, I think it was during the summer. We had lost our black lab mix, Elvira, when I was going into 6th grade, so I would have been going on 12. So it was the summer going into 7th grade that, you know, she'd been with my family since even before I was born, and by the time I turned 2, she had already bore her second and last litter. So I was ready for a dog of my own, since Elvira had been more of a family dog. So I looked in the buyer's guide, where you can place ads for our town, where people placed ads for things, and I found a listing for puppies, mixed breeds, for $35. I think that was the price in 1995, after all. They weren't, you know, like what they are today. My dad drove me out there, and I looked at the puppies. They were a mix of German Shepherd and Black Lab, and now thinking on it, I remember it was a sunny day, and this one, you know, it was like a family that was had these puppies. One of the kids was holding one of the puppies and was like, "Oh, you can't have this one." I'm thinking, shut up. If I want that puppy, I'll take it. But no, I didn't pick that one. The one my eyes fell on was a male, mostly German Shepherd looking due to his markings. I named the puppy Rox after the dog from the movie Look Who's Talking Now. Looking back on this now, I wish I would have come up with a better name. I took the puppy to my aunt and uncle's house to show my cousins, and the next day they went to the same place and they got a fuzzy black lab mix that they named Butch. Sad to say, both our dogs ended up running away later on, being they were outdoor dogs and everything like that. In 1996, I went to the Ionia County Animal Shelter and picked up a 3-year-old female black lab mix who looked mostly black lab, and I named her Delilah. I was 14 at the time, and she passed away when I was 19 or 20. She split her time between our house and the farm, my grandparents' house, and then she'd stay at our house during the winter when my grandparents were in Arizona. Her only issue was she had a fear of thunderstorms and would break out the screens that we had in our doors to get inside the house. Or if we put her in the basement, she'd be barking the whole night while the thunderstorm was going on. So that's my story there. We'll see down the road how my, if I were to get a puppy. Like I said, Jeremy's not big on the idea, but when I lost Elfie, Jeremy had mentioned, of course this was after I got Quinn, that if I hadn't have gotten Quinn, he may have allowed me to get a puppy. Granted, it wouldn't have been a good idea because we're still not financially stable enough to have one. I told Jeremy maybe in another 10 years or something, you know. I'm not saying I'm wishing for Quinn's death or anything like that, but just that way I'll be older, you know, I'll be in my mid-40s. Maybe I'll have more time to raise a puppy. But anyway, let's say hey to some new listeners this week. We have United Kingdom, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, St. Petersburg, Florida, Doylestown, Pennsylvania, Brazil, New Delhi, India, Austin, Texas, Gardena, California, Schenectady, New York, Newburyport, Maine, Chesterfield, Maine, Fargo, North Dakota, Westlake Village, California, Germany, Mumbai, Indiana, Philippines, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Coilerville, Tennessee, Montebello, California, Cambridge, Canada, Frankfurt, Germany, San Jose, California, Baltimore, Maryland, Bangalore, India, China, Hindman, Kentucky, Los Angeles, California, Mexico, Fairfax, Virginia, Bakersfield, California, Citrus Heights, California, Darien, Illinois, Kingston, Jamaica, Belgium, Georgia, Mountain View, California. Join me later this week, probably closer to the end of the week, maybe Thursday, Friday, when I review Season 2, Episode 13, She, My Friend, and I, which aired on February 6, 1990. In this episode, Paul and his girlfriend Carla have a falling out. Wanting to make his friend feel better, Kevin offers to set Paul up with Winnie. Well, Oh my god, that's a terrible idea, Kevin. At first, Kevin is happy about the idea. Why? But after a while, he begins to wonder if he made a mistake. Yes, Kevin, yes you did. You shouldn't have done that. Here's my listener question for Season 3, Episode 13, She, My Friend, and I. Did you and your friend ever like the same person romantically? How did you work it out? Email me your comments and stories at Looking Back at My Wonder Years, LBOM, Wonder Let me start that over again. LBOM, Wonder Years Podcast at gmail.com. I want to give a... You can email me your comments and stories there. I want to give a sincere thank you to all the listeners out there. However you listen to this podcast, whether it's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, or any other listening platforms that you use. I love giving you guys the episode recaps of the Wonder Years every week, joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends Paul and Winnie, and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. There are many ways to stay connected to the podcast, like you can go to the Facebook page, Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years Wonder Years podcast. Guys, I'm stumbling all over. I am really trying to get used to this whole daylight saving time. You'd think it would be easy being we gained an extra hour of sleep and whatnot, but it just feels like I'm waking up throughout the night and waking up earlier and then falling back asleep, and then I wake up and then I'm more tired. I think my body just needs to adjust to it. I mean, it's not like where you fall, you know, you skip ahead an hour and you lose sleep, which that's an adjustment too, but I don't know. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at LBOM Wonder Years Podcast and Twitter, Wonder Years Pod. You guys can also access these links to these pages via the SoundCloud page. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast, please go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Or you can just also follow on SoundCloud. Alrighty, all of you have a wonderful beginning of the week, and I will see you later in the week. Alright, bye-bye.